Hello?
I know that evil laugh.
Oh, my dear Tara, you have been naive.
Food goes here.
Can you stand it?
What?
Google it, Leela.
I shall.
Pirate name generator.
Pirate name generator for frickin' else.
Got it.
Where's our pirate expert? Leela, will you be our pirate expert?
Google. I can have Google be your pirate expert.
Jesus H. Dancing Christ.
Tara just blanched when she noticed that I was drinking out of our old Denny's mug, which
I've been using to thaw frozen dead mice.
Oh, yes!
The week that doesn't have any May in it.
What?
About.
Smelly socks.
Smelly socks and rock salt and
Rock four, dear, not rock salt.
Oh, okay. That would be Tara if it was rock salt, right?
What?
You're listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Arg, arg, everybody, arg, yo, ho, ho, and arg. Whoa!
Stop.
Oh.
No args.
Yo, ho, ho, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Happiness Patrol. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. It's not Talk Like a Pirate Day, but the mood has struck me. Anybody can take it from here, you know. So I figured, you know, not as hard as I'm going to strike you upside the head, Lewis. Ha, 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 Dale. You know, that kind of thing.
But, sometimes we don't even know where to go.
I was just waiting for you to break out in the Pirates of the Caribbean song.
No.
It's edition, what is it? It's episode number 62, and we are joined by the usual. And the unusual. Hey, Dale, how you doing?
This has to be the wackiest bloody opening you've ever done.
Welcome, welcome back, Dale. It's good to see you.
Yeah, I think I'll be going now to play the dark room.
No!
Yeah.
No!
Tara, make sure keep him here, Tara.
Hey, what makes you think I have any control over that man?
Well,
none whatsoever.
So, we have all the way from San Francisco, Miss Nancy A. Nancy, hey.
Ahoy, mateys.
Ahoy, matey, right? Oh, am I right?
God.
Am I right? And a place where pirates don't go, that's Utah. Hey, Leela. Leela.
Hello.
You seen any pirates lately?
No.
On the internets.
Only on the
internet. Utah, number one in internet porn.
Is it?
Because yes, there's nothing else to do. So anyway, today we've got everybody here, and we've got a very special guest, Marina, the fire-eating mermaid, will be here. Aha!
Talk to us about the difference between sirens and mermaids.
That's right. God, it's amazing. So we got all this and more on this episode of the Happiness Patrol, which starts right now.
Beat you to it.
Darn.
Hello, this is Marina.
Hello, Marina.
Hey, it worked.
Hey.
We're very excited here because not only this is the first time we've used this technology, and it actually seems to work. So how you doing?
Oh, huh? Fantastic. Oh, very well, very well. I can hear you pretty well, too. So
good, good.
I guess the technology is working. So far, so good.
So
I have to do a nice, long, extended ahoy.
Ahoy, yes. Ahoy and arg. So we're all talking.
Yo, ho, ho. Does anybody actually say that?
So Marina, Dale was asking me earlier, he was like, we're going to have a mermaid on the show. Now, are you? Okay, your kid, how is she a mermaid? And I thought, you know, Dale, I'll just let Marina explain that herself.
Certainly. I tend to shy away from calling myself a mermaid. I think a lot of people like to do that, and that's great. But I'm primarily an aquatic performer. It's my ambition is to try to kind of revive an almost obsolete form of entertainment that used to take place so commonly during the 1950s and actually late 40s and 1950s primarily. 60s it was still around, and it all began with the aqua ballets that people pretty much will associate with Esther Williams films, with underwater footage, films like Mr. Peabody and the Mermaid, things such as that, where there would be underwater sequences, and they were quite enchanting. And that style of swimming became so popular as a result of these things that, of course, a large park was opened in Florida called Weekiwachi, which, of course, the original intention was to make it a location for film. And they had a underwater set, and that's what, you know, was the general idea behind the creation of this spring as an attraction. They kind of did that to further help promote this as a place for accessibility for underwater scenes. And a lot of the springs in Florida were used for that, which is fantastic. You watch Sea Hunt, you watch just about every episode of that features an underwater scene, Creature from the Black Lagoon even, films like such as those. And a lot of those were shot in Florida Springs for their clarity and consistency of temperature. So it was actually a pretty great thing. But see, when they opened
that's a cool thing, because I didn't know that. You see, that's something good about it.
Well, yeah. you start noticing the differences as the place, when the place originally opened, they wanted to show those things, of course. And the aquamates that did perform didn't have fishtails at all. At that time, they performed underwater ballet, literally formations. They would do feats. They would show things that they could do underwater, and that was the feature. When Mr. Peabody and the Mermaid was released as a promotion, they had a tank built, and a woman was wearing a fishtail that that Anne Blythe wore in the film to help promote the film, the movie. And they were allowed to keep the tail after. So the tail was used kind of as a feature every so often in the show. And the public began to want to see more of the tail. Long story short, people don't want to see girls in fins. They want to see girls in tails. And now the show hardly features any aqua performances of that manner. It's mostly fishtails. And then now there's a Little Mermaid story. It's changed to that point. It's great to see women working with the tails.
Brilliantly geeky on this. I love you already. You're brilliantly geeky.
Yeah, I told you so. Now, Marina, you not to confuse anybody or our listeners, you do not perform at Weekiwachi Springs, correct?
Correct. I do not.
You are a warm water.
I am a tropical species. Let's
yes.
Just say.
There you go.
But I have worked with them. We did a project together for Macau. They have a virtual aquarium there, as a matter of fact. And I designed the tails that would be chroma keyed out. They were in chroma key blue. They were chroma keyed out and replaced with CGI. And if you go on YouTube and you look up Macau Mermaid, you'll see a whole video with these 8-foot. Large projected, rear projected mermaids on this giant screen at the Hard Rock over there. And I got to work with the Weekiwachi girls there. You'll see distinct different swim styles just based on, our training, our background in training.
Now,
it's quite interesting to watch.
I've seen that, but I was confused at exactly where that was exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's in China. Yeah, it's a large casino facility. In fact, it's supposed to be quite remarkable.
Uh-huh.
And it's close to the entrance to a gigantic theater known as The Bubble, where they have a humongous, almost immersive 3D experience with projected images and such. And it's supposed to be quite, quite amazing.
All that Chinese money. Hmm. Well, that's cool, because I have seen that video, and it is really amazing to see that, because it is such a damn good job. I really like that. But
animator's fantastic, certainly, yes.
But you actually have a troupe of performers that you have, right?
Yeah. I do. Well, what I wanted to do is I wanted to separate the novelty and kind of allow them to focus on the art itself. When you dance Swan Lake, you are not a swan. You are a dancer. People should perceive you as a dancer and appreciate you as a dancer, but you're not pretending to be a swan. And I wanted people to understand that I'm not pretending to be a mermaid when I perform. People accept the fishtail. Morph. They connect to it, just as what happened with Weekiwachi, where they had to kind of go further with that.
Uh-huh.
But in the manner that we move, I wanted people to forget ever so briefly that we're not breathing, that we are not having our eyes assaulted by chemicals, that we are not taking in water. All this stuff for a moment, to have this moment of equanimity where the audience watches and goes, oh, that's right. these women are doing something difficult. And that's what I wanted to do, to allow them to forget that for just a moment.
Yeah, well, it certainly doesn't look difficult. When I got to see you perform for the very first time at the Sheraton in Fort Lauderdale, it was unbelievable. And for those of you who haven't been there, it's called the Rec Bar. It's an underwater lounge, and they have these huge glass windows that look out onto the pool that they have there. And Marina was able to talk the management into having her show there with her troupe of mermaids. And there's like, you've got four now, is that right, or three?
I actually have a total of nine, but four are in the show group and the rest are apprentices.
Wow, really, that's fantastic. Pretty cool.
I always make sure that they have a minimum of 1 year to 2 years apprenticeship before they actually go full.
Well, on being the only person here on the Happiness Patrol that actually has seen you perform, holy moly. Yeah, you got it down. You got it down, and it's amazing. It truly is. I am one of your biggest cheerleaders, I have to tell you right now.
Thank you.
But he looks absolutely dreadful in the cheerleading outfit.
Yeah, I'm not very good at that. So I look better in orange. So getting down to this, I was going to tell you in this particular episode of Doctor Who, this mermaid was not necessarily a quote-unquote mermaid. She was, they called her a siren in the thing. Now, what, in your experience, what's the difference?
Well, mermaid generally is the description that people would give for the mythological creature that has the fish tail, right, and is and she'll coerce men toward the rocks. I think that the cliche thing is that she'll sing and the people, you know, are drawn to it. And I think that's kind of a mixture between the siren, which actually looks a lot different. She's winged. She has, you know, animal, I would want to say something in Bonaventure, almost like creature legs. She doesn't even really look human except for her face. The face is the only thing that really has a human appearance. And they're the ones who are supposedly a lot more wicked, and their intentions are very different. But I think what happened was the lines were blurred between that and the romanticized mermaid. And, well, now they're almost interchangeable for the most part, even though those who know better know that there is a difference. But if you look at a manatee was named after a mermaid. If you look at their Latin title, it says Sirena, which means siren. And so it is generally blurred for the most part. But sirens are big trouble. I would say that if I had a choice, I would probably rather encounter a mermaid than a siren.
Because they're big trouble. Because they're big trouble. So, well, that clears up last night's episode a lot to me. Mm-hmm. So, so you guys have any questions for Marina?
Are you a stroppy homicidal mermaid trying to destroy us all?
would I tell you if I were? Goodness gracious. How dumb do you think I am?
There you go.
I'm on the air. How could I possibly do that and expect to succeed?
It's Doctor Who. You've always got to tell us your plan.
The word is mum.
Someday that'll work. But not.
You're going to have a marathon of some new Who. Sometime.
Just I'll squeeze that between performances.
Yeah, you do that.
I'll give that a shot. Yeah, let me work on that before
you
I start.
Do that. Yeah, mm. Yeah.
We can always put a telly in the pool.
Yeah, the problem is here, gang, is that Marina seems to have a life. So.
Yes.
But anyway.
And the last time I tried to watch something on my Nano while running a half marathon, I just ran right into a wall. It didn't work very well.
You're right.
David has just come in and he's just dying to talk to the mermaid.
Oh, okay. Everybody, it's David. This is David Wheeler, Tara's husband. So, and a big fan of Marina.
Yes, yes. I just wanted to say howdy. I didn't mean to interrupt everything. I know that Uncle Lou is faithfully recording everything, right?
You got that right.
Hi, everybody. Did you tell him I'm a guy yet?
No, I didn't tell him yet. Not yet.
I thought I'd throw something in there. Okay. nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you. I've enjoyed following you on Facebook.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. Well, most of those things are lies, but besides that, I mean, I've got really good PR people.
Oh, I've enjoyed following you on Facebook, too.
Thank you.
I loved all the links you put up.
Well, you know, it helps to when you're interested in pop culture and especially the kitschier aspects of pop culture, there's always something underlying that makes it either, you know, that makes it possible for you to accept it as kitsch or not kitsch, or you know, heck, you can watch something like My Mother the Car and go, oh my gosh, that's ridiculous. But wait a minute, that's Jerry Van Dyke. Okay, connections, physical performer. Yeah, this is great. This is, all right, so you start seeing the gold in all these things, even though, you know, either that or you can just look at it superficially and just go, that's just silly. Well, I like to delve into it and really know the meat of the cheese.
Yes, yeah, the meat of the cheese. The meat of the cheese. That's great. I'm going to be using that for a while now. You just gave me a new line.
Oh, now see what you've done.
Let's get down to the meat of the cheese. So Marina, I'm curious. Did you like a lot of Jerry Anderson stuff?
Oh, heck yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes, absolutely. I was a Stingray fanatic.
Uh-huh.
I absolutely love that. I've been really interested in some of the older stuff, though. You know, Subaka, I absolutely love. And in fact, I promised myself that when I buy my first new car, I have my CD ready and waiting with the Supercar theme song, and I play it so loud on that stereo as I pull out. And you know how those used car salesmen want to talk to you a little bit more as you leave, like that. You know, I don't care. As soon as I buy the car and I'm in it, Supercar, I'm going to play it super loud and just, yeah, I'm just going to pull out playing that mother. Yeah, that'd be great. That
is damn geeky. So but you have to have a car. You have to have one of those cars like they had in UFO, like Commander Stryker had.
I want at least 40 toggle switches, or else it's not even worth getting. They don't have to work.
They don't have to work. You just want them
there. Right in the center console. Click.
Very fun.
Oh, yeah, that's all I want. A little lights that light up every so often.
So, before we let you go, give us a website where our listeners can go and check out more if they want to learn a little bit about more of your performances and such.
Sure. Okay. Well, if you go to MedusaRena.com, and I'll spell that out, it is M-E-D-U, like as in Medusa. And then it goes into S-I-R-E-N-A, Serena. Just look up Medusa Serena, and you're going to find the website. You'll find everything. If for any reason you can't find it that way, look up Fire Eating Mermaid. You'll find me right away.
Because he eats fire. So.
Correct.
Look up Fire Eating Mermaids. Only on the Happiness Patrol can you get something like that.
Fire Eating Mermaids. I like the fact that it's this juxtaposition of elements. I'm always amazed at the ridiculous question of, do you eat fire underwater, where I usually punch people in the face. And but I like the premise of it. It's almost a sensationalist carny, and I rather like that title. A lot of people have it's easy to remember.
I have to tell everybody, the first time I met Marina, I was performing down in South Florida at this little place called the Jet Setter Lounge, and it happened to be sci-fi night, and my band, the Disastronauts, were playing, and I heard, there's going to be a performer here, there's going to be a dancer here. I go, oh, really? Oh, that'd be kind of cool, but I had no idea how cool it was going to be, because I was just thinking, like, go-go dancer type sort of thing, because surf music, go-go dancers, you see that all the time, but... Suddenly, out of my peripheral vision, from beneath my monkey mask, I'm like looking around, and I see this woman who's completely painted in green, and I was like, holy moly, that's an Orion slave girl.
Oh yeah.
And of course I'm grinning from ear to ear underneath my monkey mask, and I'm like, I can't believe this gorgeous thing is like dancing for us. This is crazy. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute, she's beautiful and she's got to be geeky too, because she's painted from head to toe in green. There you go.
They mentioned that it was space age, and I'm going, well, you know, and it's a mixture of that and Polynesian pop, and I'm thinking, well, geez, okay, how can I make Polynesian spacely? And I'm, well, it has to be there has to be. I know that Star Trek has dozens of exotic women in their series, but which would be the quintessential one? Well, of course, the Orion slave girl, because she's dancing for the people. I'm like, oh, well, I'd have to do that. And of course, I'm a kind of a stickler for detail, so I got the blue contact lenses because she had blue contacts in the series. So I'm like, I had to go there. I had to get the right hair. I went kind of a little bit further so that it can be, you know, rather than just paint myself green.
Every guy. Well, hell, everybody in the whole place, guy or woman, was just like they couldn't take your eyes off of her. It was amazing.
Well, you know, green people do tend to stick out in a crowd.
Sometimes, yeah.
El Baba.
No. It's not easy being green.
It isn't, but it's freaking awesome.
Funny. So, all right. Well, I guess we're gonna let you go, so we can get on down the line here with this crazy talk about our latest episode. But thank you so much, Marina, for taking the time out to come on.
Well, thanks for having me. It was a pleasure meeting all of you, and it was great to visit simultaneous states and go across the pond.
Yeah, at the same time. Isn't that nice? I love the internet.
It has been swell, but the swelling will be going down shortly. I'll keep an eye on it. So, thank you.
All right, then. Well, we'll see you later, then.
All right. Much aloha. Thank you very much.
Okay, you take care.
Bye.
See ya. Bye-bye.
What was the name of the captain pirate on this particular episode?
The captain pirate.
Yeah, the pirate captain. Pirate captain.
Avery.
Henry Avery. Now, he was a real pirate, correct, Dale?
No, he's an actor in Doctor Who, darling.
No. The character.
Yes.
Yes. Now, is it me?
Why are you asking me?
Because you're our Doctor Who expert. I need to ask our pirate.
Do you need me to Google something, Lewis?
Where's our pirate expert? Leela, will you be our pirate expert?
Google. I can have Google be your pirate expert.
Of course.
According to Wikipedia, yes. Henry Avery... sometimes given as John Avery, was an English pirate who operated in the Atlantic and Indian Oceans in the mid-1690s.
And did he disappear without a trace suddenly?
Place of death unknown, most often given as somewhere in Britain.
Somewhere in Britain.
Somewhere just beyond the other side of the Dog Star.
Yeah, there you go. I like the fact that they based him, that character, on a real pirate.
It also says on Wikipedia, it says, a pirate captain named Avery is repeatedly mentioned in the 1966 Doctor Who serial, The Smugglers.
Yes.
The plot centers on the search for Avery's treasure.
There you go.
Callback.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, this is not the first time that the Doctor has met Captain Avery.
This is true.
So, The Smugglers. Now, what do you know about this? The Smugglers, was that a second Doctor or first Doctor?
First Doctor.
Oh.
First Doctor.
Please tell me Dodo Chaplet was in that.
Dodo Chaplet was in that.
It was Ben and Polly.
Was it?
Oh, yes, good. It was, but you wanted me to tell you Dodo Chaplet.
Yeah, well, you know, just tell me Dodo Chaplet, and I'm a happy, happy boy. I guess Dodo Chaplet is probably my happy place where I need to go. So if I need to go to a happy place.
Bucket.
Okay. Moving right along. So, the curse of the black spot. Wow. This is the first real, you know, standalone episode. It's a standalone episode. It really is. And we were just talking about how we would like to see a bit more of a standalone episode. And we got our wish. Boom. Right out of the box. So, ladies, who would like to go first? What did you guys think of this? Let's have Leela go first. Leela?
I knew you were going to make me go first.
You didn't raise your hand. You knew he was going to call on you.
Yeah.
It's like when you're sitting in class and the teacher asks a question, and you're like, avoid eye contact.
What happened, Leela, is everybody else took a step back.
And then I'm looking around, realizing I'm standing in front going,
Right. So, Leela, what did you think of this?
I really liked it.
Uh-huh.
And I've only watched it like 1.5 times. So I really need to go watch it again. But I really, really enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
Well, and it was nice having the standalone episode after the two-parter of the new series coming in. So,
anything particular stand out for you?
I think it just had some great just little one-liners in it, like how Rory was saying, he's like, look at the pirates and their brilliant beards. Just yeah. little things like that were very, very funny. And I actually started keeping track of how many times the doctor said, ignore all my previous theories.
What did you think of the siren?
I liked her. I thought it was a good idea, and they used her well. So, and I thought she was really creepy when, you know, she gets mad and she goes all red.
Yeah,
she's very, very creepy looking.
That was kind of spooky to me too, actually. You definitely don't want a good looking gal like that going red on you. Oh, hell no. But Tara, what did you think?
Not happy.
Not happy. We'll come back. We'll come back to you, Tara. Nancy, how about you?
You know what? I don't want to think about this one too much because I did generally enjoy it. Uh-huh. It's for me, it's this year's Vampires of Venice. It's like, you know, I know everybody's going to pick it to pieces, but when I watched it, it made me happy, and I'm good with that.
Okay.
And, you know, there were some things I really like. Pirate Amy rocked. You know, we knew Pirate Amy was going to rock.
Uh-huh.
I loved some of the lines. If something's going to kill you, it's nice to drop you a note to remind you. That was a good one, you know, and yeah, I was happy with the ride. It wasn't perfect, but you know, I'm okay with that once in a while.
Okay. Now, Tara, what disappointed you about this?
It had everything in it, but the fucking kitchen sink. That's one of the things that annoyed me, and I'm getting awfully tired of one character per episode must die and be revived. It's becoming the new South Park Kenny. You know, if it's not, it's either, you know, how many times can we kill Rory? And there's a hysterical tweet. Somebody tweeted at Stephen Moffat, are you going to quit killing Rory? And he answered back, no. So
I didn't see that.
Rory, how many ways can we kill Rory?
Oh, goodness gracious. Dale, what do you have
to say? Hang on. No, I want to say what else Tara's got to say about the episode.
You know, Tara, I did notice something that you were mentioning last week about how you were kind of fed up with having a child come in for no particular reason. And then I was like thinking like, wow, Tara was really upset about that. A child coming in for no particular reason. And this week, what did I see? Boom.
A child coming in for no particular reason.
And I was like, damn, Tara's on the money. So,
stop.
Uh-huh.
What the hell do you mean, no particular reason? It's aimed at children.
So?
So you give them something to identify with in their own age group.
Name me a second Doctor episode that's got children in it.
Mind Robber.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you go.
You got one episode from the second Doctor's got children in it. Every fucking episode has to have of the new stuff has got to have children in it. It does not need to have children in it. And if it, I don't mind if it has children in it, but can they have a purpose? They could have cut that whole kid portion out of it, and it wouldn't have.
No, it gave Captain Avery family. It gave him back history. It gave him something to care for. It gave him something to fight for.
Yeah, it gave him motivation.
Even though he kept the fucking crown, even though he was, you know,
he's a pirate, for God's sake, not Gandhi.
Yeah, well, you both have very good points there. Dale's a little bit better. No, but Tara, you were totally right when you're saying that there's a kid in every episode. Now, I'm wondering, next week, are we going to see a kid? What do you think?
Yes.
Tara?
I bet you $10 we see a kid.
I ain't taking that bet.
I'm not taking that bet.
Nobody's taking that bet.
holy moly. So, was there anything that you really liked about it, Tara?
Well, you know, I absolutely adore Matt Smith. I absolutely adore his doctor. You know, anytime he's running around, I am just a happy camper to watch him do it. I just wish they'd give him something more interesting to do. I'm getting tired of the whole Rory and Amy dynamic. That is just really beginning to piss me off.
Why? Why is it pissing you off?
I just... want to get back to good old Doctor Who running around monsters on planets.
A straightforward story is what you're looking for.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I thought that...
Yes, raspberries. And as we have said multiple times, this does not make me... I am not renouncing my Doctor Who fan card. I sat through the whole sixth Doctor. I sat through the whole seventh Doctor.
Yeah.
I can sit through this. So...
There you go, Dale. Wow.
It's not as bad as last week's run, frankly.
So yes,
lots
Dale?
Getting back to, yeah. Lewis, what did you think of it before I impart my lovely wisdom?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because the first time I saw it, I was watching it and I was thinking, whoa, this is moving kind of fast, which was weird because last week's episode, the first part of that was slow. The second part was, you know, very well paced. It wasn't until I watched the two of them together as one long, big episode that I really, really seemed to enjoy it. And like this particular episode, the first time I saw it, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. This is a little quick. Did I miss this? Or, you know, so I watched it again. I watched it very carefully again. And I enjoyed it more.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I really enjoyed, what am I trying to say? The ship on another plane. You know, that really talked, you know, I mean, boom, Leela, right back to Stones of Blood. Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like...
Too. David was like, Stones of Blood! Stones of Blood!
Yeah. So that was...
Even down to the scene where the door slides open and there's a dead body in it.
Yes, exactly. And speaking of that little scene and pacing, that little scene, I think, could have been a little longer because it didn't seem like the dead guy there when they opened up the door was on as long as it should have been. It should have been like maybe two beats longer, you know,
might
just because of that.
Might have been a little too scary.
You think so?
They weren't the prettiest looking dead creatures ever.
I wish that we had found out like what race they were or something. Or something like that. Yeah, and exactly why they might have been stuck there. That would have been a little more satisfying to me.
Well, you never know; they could come back.
They could, exactly, and that's why
we really thought the Lodger TARDIS was going to show up again, did we?
That is true. Things I really liked about it, and there were other things that I was not too terribly happy about. So, do you mind if I tell you?
Okay. Yeah, no, go for
well,
it.
First of all,
I'll just tell you you're wrong. So, come on, go for it.
Wooden type. They were. I'm not sure what was more wooden, the pirates or the ship. You know,
but there was DCI Lytton.
I like the captain.
Oh, you just...
What was the guy's name? Hugh Bonneville?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Who the hell is this Lytton person?
Life on Mars.
Really?
Yeah, remember?
I never watched that.
I didn't know.
Oh, Gene's Nemesis.
But Hugh...
I don't watch anything that's aimed at adults.
But Hugh Bonneville, why is he famous?
He was in Downton Abbey,
yeah.
Okay.
That's a very, very large, expensive costume drama that is ridiculously well thought of.
Okay. See, I didn't know that.
Very nice production.
Mm. But he was good. He was a very good actor, and he made his role what it was. Nice and believable, and I like that. You know, it's great that a good actor can take any role, whether it's real meaty and juicy or just, you know, not very well developed or well written, and make it their own, you know. And he did that with this, and I salute that man. He was good. I wasn't too terribly thrilled with the fact that, you know, there's pirates now with an intergalactic spaceship running around, you know, and how easily it is. It's just like, oh, we're totally accepting that, you know, these pirates can get in the ship, you know, and fly, you know. So,
well, I'm kind of hoping they'll go run into the Nosferatu and Stablom Glitz and then
and Mel.
Mel, there
maybe,
you go.
Maybe
Mel
they'll
do.
Maybe they'll race for enlightenment. You never know.
There you go.
But you know, other than that, I enjoyed it because and here's why, Tara, because I enjoyed it because it was a bit more of a monster of the week. It was a little bit of a throwback to some older Doctor Who. because of the whole Stones of Blood thing. I mean, I can't believe we had just talked about Stones of Blood, and then boom, we get like, you know, a similar plot line, you know, there, or at least in part. So so that was kind of cool. I like that. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the season because, you know, we were talking about how the crack showed up last season in every episode, just a little bit here and there. The one-eyed woman, you know, showed up.
Yeah, now we have this woman in a window.
Yeah. So that's going to be the new crack, apparently.
Well, actually, my son and I were talking about that this morning, and we're calling it the triple crack. Because we've got triple crack. Amy's baby, or not baby.
The Schrodinger baby.
Yeah, the Schrodinger's baby, eye patch lady, and the dead doctor.
And the
it's
dead
the
doctor.
Triple crack.
I don't know.
Calling it.
What do you think, Dale? What's your opinion, Dale?
Oh dear, I think it would be the best time.
You enjoyed it though. You enjoyed the episode, I guess.
Oh, I bloody loved it. I watched Doctor Who on a different level to you.
Right.
Literally. It's more to do with how I see the Doctor than anything else. So although, yeah, literally, Amy and Rory, I adore Amy. She is so funny. And when she decides she's going to do something, by God, she does it. Great. And Rory, I adore because he's sweet and cute and madly in love with Amy. And he's like a rather sad puppy.
Yes.
I love the fact that they're starting to do more things to the TARDIS crew and to the TARDIS.
Yeah.
TARDIS last night decided to go off on a tantrum, which I thought was absolutely the way they handled it. You know, the doctor's saying,
"Abandon ship."
It's okay,
yeah, that was cute.
It's having a full-on stroppy tantrum. Get out! And it's, right, TARDIS going off on his own. That's not happened before. Yeah. You know, there are so many beautiful doctor moments in it that literally outshine anything that could possibly be wrong with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's the yo-ho-ho bit at the beginning, or do you not actually say that? I love the way he said it with such amazing confidence and then gets really nervous about it and like fiddles and twitches and things like that. It's when River Song kissed him, you know, he suddenly went really nervous. I love that. And at the end, when they're looking at the dead crew members, he puts his hand on and he goes, ew. And she goes, what is it? He goes, sneeze. Alien bogeys.
Alien bogeys. I love the way he says bogeys.
I got to say, the 10-year-old loved that.
Oh, yeah.
Funny. Oh, yeah.
I thought that was absolutely perfectly brilliant. The scene where they actually go into the other ship, you know, the ship in the ship, which actually wasn't a ship in the ship, because Amy said, oh, so it's a bit like a ship in the ship. Well, no, but if it makes it easier for you, yeah, think of it like that. Yeah. I love the fact he completely screws everybody with his explanations now. He is perfectly brilliant as the Doctor, is Matt. And literally, he is rapidly becoming one of my favourite Doctors. Now, I've always maintained my favourite Doctor is the current Doctor.
Uh-huh.
Because he deserves my full support and he will always get it. But Matt is actually now pretty much at the top of my all-time Doctors. So, but the scene where they actually go in and they're all on life support. Have you ever seen a film called Coma?
Yes.
Yeah,
immediately what came to mind.
That's literally, I just thought, oh, it's the scene from Coma. And yeah, I love the fact that they really cleverly utilised the siren song as anaesthetic.
That was nice. And they were acting like they were drugged.
Yeah.
What a brilliant idea. I love the fact they did that. That's, you know, it's really clever thinking to say, yeah, well, you know, it's meant to drug you and lure you to your death. I love the fact that the touch of the mermaid or the siren or the doctor or whatever she was very similar to the vanquishing, you know, the teleports in Bad Wolf, you know, when the android fired on you.
Right.
Or when the Big Brother house destroyed you. It was very similar. Yeah. So I completely adored it. I've watched it 4 times now.
Hey everybody, back by popular demand. We've got our segment we like to call, it's a brand new segment we like to call here, 10-year-old Tony's take on ... Doctor Who. So Tony, welcome back to the Happiness Patrol.
Thanks.
So you got to see the Curse of the Black Spot. What'd you think?
It was good.
Really? Was it better than last week's?
Mm-hmm. I'd say they were both good.
Oh, okay, okay. So, so what did you think? Was this a scary one? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, how scary was this one?
2. One being the lowest.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Exactly, exactly. That's what our scale of 1 to 10 means. So, okay. So not scary at all. So why not? Why wasn't it scary?
Just thought that the monster was kind of cheesy.
Oh, really? In what way?
Like the monster wasn't really a monster. That just doesn't make sense.
The curse of the black spot. It was, you know, pirates. You like pirates?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So, but were these pirates believable for you, or were they good pirates? Were they bad pirates? What do you think? Tell me about this.
I thought that they were actually kind of historically accurate because pirates, they were kind of like what the pirates in this episode were like.
Uh-huh.
Like cheating and not really trustful and that sort of stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But bit where the captain's kid stows away on the ship, not very believable.
Oh, really?
In actual history, who's ever heard of a captain's son stowing away on a ship?
So what did you think about the switch from the pirate ship onto the spaceship?
Oh, well, I think that the mermaid thing was kind of like some sort of, like, holograms or something, and it, like, emits some sort of transmat beam, and everyone thought that it was, like, a death ray or something.
Uh-huh.
It kind of reminds me of the episode with the ogre, with the fourth doctor.
Yeah.
Hyperspace thing.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of that.
So Stones of Blood is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole hyperspace vessel thing.
You know, Tony, I was thinking the exact same thing when I saw that. But Tony, in general, would you recommend this episode to your friends?
Only to those who are obsessed with pirates.
Yeah.
How'd you like the ending with the pirate captain and his son flying the spaceship?
Well, space pirates are kind of cool. Like it's a good cross between Doctor Who and pirates.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Cool. Okay. Well, Tony, do you got any more questions, Nancy?
I was going to say, do you want to tell Uncle Lou what you did right after you saw the episode?
Yeah, what did you
want to go do?
Okay, straight after the episode, I wanted to go play my pirates game.
You mean where you dress up with a patch and a hat and a sword and go outside and play?
No, it's a Wii game.
Oh, it's a video game.
Sid Meier's Pirates.
Kids it's today like, with their video
kinda
games.
It's kind of like Pirates of the Caribbean. It's really mm-hmm. fun.
So it's not like Pong with pirate hats. Never mind. I totally lost you there, Tony. Tony, thank you so much for being on the Happiness Patrol. We look forward to your weekly reviews for the rest of the season, buddy.
You're welcome.
All right. You got anything to say to our Happiness Patrol listeners?
No.
Okay, so arg, ye matey, thank ye all for coming out tonight to the Happiness Patrol. Arg, I say yo ho ho, we'll catch you next week. Arg.
God. When hopefully Lewis will have learned to speak English again.
Yeah, yeah. And we'd also like to thank Marina the Mermaid. Thank you so much, Marina, for showing on. And
she's not a mermaid. She's an aquatic performer.
Yes, and shedding the light on for all of us to see the difference between a mermaid and a siren and all the stuff that's in between. So thank you, Marina.
Frankly, it's fairly obvious because you've never seen a mermaid on top of a police car.
Hardy har, arg, arg, arg. Arg, that was funny. Arg, and if you think that's funny, mate, tease, you ought to go and check out ye ol'. Ye old blog spot for ye old Happiness Patrol, arg. Hey, me wench Leela will tell you all about it right there, will you, lass?
I will, and because I speak English, I will do it normally. You can check out our blog at thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/thehpatrol.
Somebody take the rum away from Uncle Lou.
Argan, you can send us a virtual message in a bottle. Argan, you see, at the old email spot. What is the old email spot? Ye old email spot would be...
the.happiness.control@gmail.com.
Arg, aye, and that would be it. Arg, thank you there, Lassie Leela. And fetch me some more grog, will ya? Arg.
No.
Arg.
Keeping it.
Is that enough?
Arg. All right.
Disappointed, Arg.
Oh, golly gee whiz. Arg. Until next week, mateys. We'll see you next time on Yo Happiness Patrol. I be... What do I be? I be Stinkin' Bailey Tetch.
And I be Mr. Storm of the Sea.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing too hard.
Leela, come on.
And I be Leela Deadbones this week.
And I be Senorita Rosebud Hicks.
And I be not taking any part in this absolute bloody nonsense.
Yarg, and there she blows. The end of our program, Yarg.
Can I be Captain Pugwash?
Yeah, sure, Captain Pugwash. Say, Captain Pugwash, how do you say goodbye in pirate?
Say goodbye. See you next week.
Oh, goodbye, pirates. Bye. We'll see ya.
Ahoy.
Bye.
Ahoy, mateys.
Avast behind for the buffer now. Enough about Leela.
This is Leela S., and you've been listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Minutes before the news.
Oh, dang it.
It's short as well.
It's very short.
Play it again. Play it again.
Oh, yeah. That's how you need to end.
Perfect.
That's how it needs to end.
Arg, I say.
She said there's semen all around the bed, semen on the floor, semen in the bathroom and behind the closet door. There's semen in the fireplace and semen in the hall. The living room is carpeted with semen wall to wall. There's semen in the entryway and semen on the stair. And worst of all, there's even semen in me underwear. There's some behind the larder and beneath the table, too. I do believe the semen has gotten in me Irish stew. There's semen here in front of me and semen in the rear. My God, there's even semen hanging from the chandelier. There's semen on the windowsill and semen in the yard. The semen even left a stain upon the Saint Bernard. Although I am a patient wife, 'tis more than I can bear to wake up in the morning with your semen in my hair. I never again do wish to see thee darken up my door. So clean up all your semen and come round my way no more. So clean it all your semen and come round my way no more.
Arg, I say arg.
That's called Tuesday in Brighton.